What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Screencast, Kind of Funny Show, where we talk about TV and movies and all sorts of stuff. Joey.
Why are there so many of us?
I don't know, man. Why didn't it do it for the practice run?
Just leave it as perfectly.
Okay, we can leave it.
We're going to roll with that, dude. That's the kind of energy we have today on a Monday. And I know what you guys are saying to yourself. Hey, wait, it's not Monday. It's Wednesday. We're watching this. Yeah, we're pre-recording this because we have an awesome stream that's happening concurrently right now. Actually, I don't know if we're even putting this on Twitch. This might go straight to you beautiful people out there on YouTube. Over on Twitch, we're streaming. So Kevin and Joey and myself are pre-recording this on Monday. And we actually haven't done one of these in a while. So I thought it'd be kind of cool just to kind of shoot the proverbial shite about what we've been watching.
Yeah.
Of course, our Patreon producers today are Mohammed and Al, the Predator Tribesman, and Goofy McGee. Nah, I just wanted to say a third name.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I legitimately was like, does he mean that? Is he messing with us? You got us.
It's one of those things where I love Momo and Al so much, but maybe a third one day. Maybe in January, someone else might want to come out of the woodwork and just sponsor it for a month just so I can make up another goofy name. What?
A third amigo just comes out of the woodwork.
They didn't call it the Dos Amigos. They call it the Three Amigos.
They did. Good movie.
Great movie, actually.
What's his name? Chevy Chase?
It does have Chevy Chase. Yes.
Steve Martin.
Can you name the other two actors?
And Martin Short.
Yes. The Martin connection is what they used to call those two actors when they're together.
Is it?
Of course. No, not at all.
I don't know. I feel like they could have, and you're like old enough where you would know that.
The Martin connection, Steve Martin, Martin Short. That's amazing. I just made that up. Put that on the Wikipedia page, everyone. Of course, if you guys want, we have some fun housekeeping. If you guys want, go over to kindoffunny.com/store, where we, of course, keep all of our merch. That's where it's housed. But a lot of people say, can you really actually put merch in one place? No, you can't. All you can do is put it on your body, just like the new why is it, that's so weird, every time I copy this link over it just goes straight to Kind of Funny. I wonder why that is. Weird.
We don't have anything new yet, but I can tell you that we will have three new items on the store this month, one of them being the PS I Love You jacket, and two are brand new that none of you have ever seen before.
Well, you know what I mean? That's exciting.
I don't know that I trust Joey with the dates and stuff. Come on, Joey.
I trust Give us Joey.
Do you know how many times I've tried to fight to get all of these things to come out in November or in October?
Three.
Because maybe there was some talk about, we'll just push it to November. And I was like, no, you don't understand. We've been teasing this jacket for a very long time.
You won't make me a liar, God damn it.
And I will not allow it to come out in November. It has to come out in October.
Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen out there of the press. Here's what I implore you to do. Buy this thing now when it comes out, because A, it will not last long. There will only be extra smalls. And then B, it's going to be cold soon. You think it's hot now with all the wildfires and whatnot, but eventually it will be climate change. Gonna
it
turn
goes
around.
Both ways. It goes. Right it gets hot and then cold,
and
ice cold.
Super cold.
It'll be like the day after tomorrow.
Exactly. Well, I mean,
do you guys remember when there was the frost? It was like last year. It was just frost on stuff. It was like
I thought you were talking about in the day after tomorrow. I was like, I just watched that movie 2 weeks ago. Of course I
did. Did you really?
First off, you guys know I love disaster movies. I hate horror movies. I love disaster movies. If the day after tomorrow is on, I have to watch it.
And it's on all the time.
All the time.
TNT or whatever.
Literally, the only thing that happens in that movie of any relevance whatsoever is the storm hits and destroys all of the world. Everything else is you're like, why do I care about any of this? It's so stupid. Why does Dennis Quaid go cross country to find Jake Gyllenhaal? None of this matters. Because I'm thinking, he's going to do something to like reverse this. No. We're just all fucked.
Nope.
That's where it's going to go.
Was Jake Gyllenhaal his kid?
Yeah, he played the kid.
Okay. So he was finding his kid. I feel like that makes
sense. But it's like, kid's probably dead. He finds him. Kid's like, hey, I'm alive.
That kid's not dead.
And that's it. End of the movie.
Okay.
Spoilers. We win.
I don't think so. You said that the Earth stays the same.
I think that was
the
one
we went against. Just like
Mother Nature. Fuck you.
Yeah, we beat her.
We're gonna burn everything, Mother Nature. That sounds good. I think this is the one. Do you guys remember this correctly? I think this was the one. And chat, let me know if I'm wrong. Well, no, there's no chat. YouTube comments, let me know if I'm wrong. This was the one at the end of it where the astronauts are looking down and they're like, "I've never seen the sky so clear before." I think that's the movie.
Neither of us watched it, so we don't know.
Is it that, or is that one Deep Impact? It
might be The Core, actually, that I'm thinking about.
No. The Core was about being inside the Earth. No, there were no astronauts in The Core.
But inside the earth was what was happening, but it was causing storms and shit on the outside of the earth. I think it was
I like
the day after tomorrow. I like them all, man. I'll tell you one thing right now. I like movies. That's why we have a podcast called Screencast here, ladies and gentlemen, where you can support over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, where the platinum tier is a print of shirtless Spider-Man and shirtless Miles Morales hanging out. So if you want both of those beautiful bodies hanging on your wall and or cubicle and or both, or preferably cubicle, so you can always ride the lightning of whether or not you're going to get fired that day, please go over to patreon.com, support us at the fan tier or above, and you get that cool, fun perk. And of course, this show is brought to you by Upstart and HBO Max. That's right. Both amazing sponsors. I know, we're crushing it today on the sponsorship front, but we'll talk about that later. All right, here, Kittles. We haven't done this in a while. Brush off the rust, scrape off the must.
Okay.
What do you got for us? Let's kick it off with you, Joey. What have you been watching?
Well, I wanted to talk this entire episode about the 7 seasons of Vanderpump Rules I've been watching since we did this, but Nick said that I couldn't. So we're going to start with an oldie, but a goodie.
Wait, but dial it back for a second. I have one question about Vanderpump Rules. How long did it take you to watch 7 seasons of Vanderpump Rules?
Like a month.
What is Vanderpump Rules?
It is
a Bravo reality show.
It's an offshoot of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, one of the characters was Lisa Vanderpump, and she and her husband own a restaurant called, what is it called? Pump Me Up, Pump Something.
So they own like 30 restaurants between LA, like all over the thing. This one is called Sir, that the show is about.
Right.
What does Sir stand for? Sexy Unique Restaurant. Not joking. Quality TV.
And then Kevin, so the show follows all of these people who are like model good looks, but just terrible human beings, and they work as servers or bartenders or hosts at this restaurant. Yeah. But it's hard to tell what's, and it's a reality show, but you're like, is it? Because do they do any work? What happens at this place? And do people actually eat there? Can I go see them filming the show here? It's all just such bullshit.
So I have gone to one of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants. It's not Sir, it's Tom Tom. Which is it named after two of the people from Vanderpump Rules, both named Tom? Yes.
That's a dope name.
So that's you can go. Name. We had.
Do they work? Do they work?
They're part owners, which is like spoilers, I guess, for season 6 or whatever, 7 of Vanderpump Rules.
God, this show has spoilers.
Vague spoilers. If you were starting to watch and you didn't know that they were going to become business partners, then yeah. But does anybody really care? No.
Does the after food seven look seasons, good, sir?
Yeah, it does look good. They talk about all these like fried goat cheese balls that you can put on anything, and it sounds like really balls. Good.
After seven seasons, 1 month straight of watching Vanderpump Rules, do you feel that your life is A, better, B, way fucking worse, or C, meh, pretty much the same?
I'm going to say pretty much the same, just because it's a nice balance of like bullshit from like what's going on.
Now,
nice
are you taking into account? Are you taking into account that halfway through you watching 7 seasons of Vanderpump Rules, both of the presidential candidates pulled out of the second debate? And is that a coincidence? I don't know.
I think they have to be connected somehow. I'll get my strings and my maps and my articles on the wall, and I'll get back to you next episode.
Please do. All right, give me your real. What have you really been watching? What's the thing you want to tell
Pacific
for the kids?
Pacific Heights.
Ooh. Now, Kevin, we were watching before we started the show. You asked a very important question: is Pacific Heights a musical, Joey?
No, it's not a musical.
I don't know what Pacific Heights is at all.
I think you're thinking In the Heights. Which is a Lin-Manuel Miranda
show. Yeah, that was
show,
like
right?
canceled, musical. Right? Yeah. Okay. Not canceled.
Well, it was a movie, but it was a Broadway show for a while. Yeah,
but it was put on hold. They were making it into a movie.
You could be thinking of South trailer. Pacific.
Also a musical.
No, I was definitely thinking In Heights. And when you said it, I perked up and I was like, wait, is that what I think it is? And it turns out it's not. Pacific Heights is something else, apparently.
Yeah.
Pacific Heights is a thriller. Starring Melanie Griffith, Matthew Modine, and I want to say Michael Keaton. Did I get that right?
Yes, Michael Keaton.
Where these two people buy a house. Joe, you explain it to me. Joe, you just watched it.
Yeah. So it's Matthew Modine and Melanie Griffith. They buy a house in Pacific Heights, set in San Francisco. And then they decide to rent out some of the other rooms to help pay for the mortgage. So they rent it out to Michael Keaton. He seems like a really nice business dude. Like has all his life together. Spoilers, he does not. And then it's just like about the
he's fucking crazy.
The torture is that they go through.
Yeah.
He like I think I've seen this movie.
He does something with cockroaches.
Oh, I don't yeah. remember that. I don't remember
yeah.
that. Is it sexy?
Basically, like, Kevin, it's the whole point of the movie is a low-key fuck you to rent control and all the renters' rights sure. in San Francisco. Because they should just be able to easily get this guy out, but he just will not leave. He just won't leave.
It's really good.
Yeah,
it kind of. I'm a sucker for thriller type movies, and I maybe it was because we had been watching Batman, and I was like,
yeah, you wanted some Michael Keaton in your life.
Well, it was one of those things where I remember having a conversation of like when we were watching the Batman movies for an review of like, was Michael Keaton like an it guy? Like, was he known as being like this play? I was trying to figure out why they would have cast him as Batman. Essentially,
he wasn't. Yeah,
now. Yeah. So then I was like trying to watch other kind of eras of Michael Keaton stuff, and then I settled on that one, and it was great.
Michael started as a comedian. He started as a stand-up comic, and he was known for comedy. He had done, I think, prior to Batman, he had done Mr. Mom, Gung Ho, and like maybe Beetlejuice. I think that came out before Batman.
Yeah,
and so people were like, "This is fucking weird." Yeah, they're like, "This is weird that they cast him as Batman." But that actually leads me to something that I've been watching recently, and I'm very excited because the D right before we went on told me that the second episode just recorded on DVR. It's called The Comedy Store, which is a 5-part docuseries on Showtime done by Mike Binder, who was one of the original he was one of the original comics back in the day when the Comedy Store down in LA went from being kind of an offshoot club where comics would hang out to being the premier club on the West Coast, thanks largely in part to the move of Johnny Carson's show from the East Coast to the West Coast. When Johnny Carson decided he wanted to basically live in LA, that took all of the power of stand-up from the East Coast and brought it to the West Coast, and then the only real place you could do that was the Comedy Store. And so Mitzi Shore, over the course of, you know, a year, became hugely influential, if not the most influential person in a lot of people's careers, as guys like Freddie Prinze and David Letterman, Jay Leno all started coming to prominence. Mike Binder was there back in the day. And so like it's cool to see him reminisce with all these people. But I don't know where the show's going to go. I read a book called I'm Dying Up Here, which they ended up making HBO or a Showtime series as well. But it wasn't very good because they couldn't get the rights to everyone's names. So they had fictitious characters. But the book itself is a history of the Comedy Store during that era. And so it's so cool to see them go through some of those points. But to bring it full circle back to Michael Keaton, he was there. That's how he came up. He came up at the store. Mm-hmm. And they show a bit that he did where he's just reading a Bazooka Joe comic book. Are you guys familiar with this? Remember when you used to unwrap Bazooka Joe, the gum, the really hard gum? They'd have a little comic strip on the inside, right? Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to see how brilliant he used to be, go look up this bit. It starts off with him going like, he's like, hey Joe, why'd you throw the clock out of the window? And he goes, oh, I wanted to see if time, you know, and he goes, oh, I threw it out the window because I wanted to see if time would fly. And then the next character goes, but isn't time just an ethereal thing? And it just goes for this long, through this whole, like, it's like a 3-minute bit of him, the back and forth between like the time is a relative and all these things. It's so fucking genius. I urge you to look it up. But yeah, he was great back then. Anyway, that's one of the shows I'm looking forward to. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed I'm Dying Up Here, the book. And if you're a fan of stand-up comedy, you should absolutely watch this. It's really cool.
And it just started. There's only two episodes out.
Yeah, it just started. There's only two episodes out. It's a little okay.
Is it Showtime?
It's not as it's Showtime. Oh. It's not as it starts off a little weird. It's not as grounded as I want it to be. It's kind of all over the place. And it's only because I read I'm Dying Up Here that I understand contextually like what the hell they're talking about. It jumps all over the place. It's not I wish there was a narrator who's like, hey, here, because the big important thing that they kind of gloss over is that Johnny Carson was really the Carson show was really the whole reason why comedy in LA exists right now, or at least as prominent and as powerful as it became in the 80s. That's why all the comics like Sam Kennison and Dice and all these guys came out there. Gary Shandling, all these people came out there because they were like, oh my God, they saw Freddie Prinze do, like he got discovered there, and then he did a set on Carson, and then he just had a TV show like the next week, and overnight was like a millionaire. And everyone's like, holy shit, it's a gold rush. If we just go to the Comedy Store, we will be billionaires, like, and it worked, like, because that's where Jay Leno came up, and that's where David Letterman came up, and of course, I don't know if they're going to go into it or not, but there was this historic, the comics went on strike with Mitzi because Mitzi never paid them, And so there was this crazy like political moment where a line got drawn and either you were with Mitzi or you were with the comics. And like Letterman went with one. I think Leno went the other way. And it was like, it put a huge rift in people's friendships forever. It's pretty crazy.
Hey, so there's Freddie Prince and then his son is Freddie Prince Jr.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Freddie Prince was huge.
Yeah. I'm looking at Chico and the Man.
Mm-hmm. He was funny as shit too. So funny. And he blew up like overnight and then of course couldn't deal with it. And they tell a story where he was so like these guys, a lot of these guys, like one of the things in the book. So they were like people, we always were worried when someone would make it big because then they had enough money for cocaine. So at a certain point they only had weed money. And occasionally you do a bump if someone had it, but you couldn't afford cocaine. But if one of your friends made it big and they became a millionaire, then everyone would just do coke around them and become crazy. And Freddie Prinze was so coked up that he was convinced that John Travolta was taking his limelight. Uh-huh. Because John Travolta, over like 1 month, Freddie Prinze was on all the Teen Beat magazines. And then the next month it was John Travolta. And so he called up, I think it was JJ Walker, and was like, hey, man. I bought a crossbow. We have to go kill John Travolta.
Oh my god!
And they went to his fucking apartment. They actually have a police report where it was John Travolta filed, where he found three arrows in his door when he came home.
Holy
and
fuck!
He was like, "Thank God!" We knocked on his door, and he was like, "Thank God he didn't answer, because he would be dead. We would have killed him." Isn't that crazy?
Jesus, that's really crazy.
Wild.
The only reason he didn't get brought up on, I don't think they ever really figured it out. And of course, Freddie Prinze would accidentally who'd gone to OD. Actually, I think he killed himself. Excuse me. I believe he shot himself, not OD. So yeah, there was a lot. It's a lot. I mean, it's a crazy era if you're a fan of stand up at all. And even if you remember a lot of the 80s or like late 70s, early 80s stuff, to see where these guys came from is always so unbelievably inspiring and humbling. To like see David Letterman just cutting his teeth at 1 o'clock in the morning on the Comedy Store stage it's rad personally. I mean, it's just so cool to see, like, if you just keep going and don't self-destruct with cocaine, like, you actually can be pretty successful. Anyway, so I recommend that. Kevin, what's on your docket?
Like a month ago, I watched this movie that PR company like sent me access to. It was really weird, complicated thing where I had to like create an account on some app, then I could watch it and stream it on my TV. Anyways, the movie came out September 25th, but, like, of course, because everything's all screwed up, you're probably not going to be able to see it and might have to wait some time till it comes out to streaming services. The movie is called Kajillionaire. It has Rachel Evan Woods. Is that her name?
That sounds right. From Westwood?
Yeah.
Evan Rachel Woods. No.
Yeah, yeah. Evan
Rachel Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Evan.
I just had the IMDb. There it is. It's got a couple other cool actors in it. Gina Rodriguez and Richard Jenkins.
Oh, I love Richard Jenkins.
Yeah, he's great. But Richard Jenkins and Evan Rachel Wood, and then there's the mom, who I can't see who she is here. Anyways, they play a little family that, like, all they do is, like, they're constantly kind of, like, trying to scam people, or they're trying to get stuff for free. They're just like the cheapest people that are like, all they do is like they're sneaking around trying to not get caught by the landlord. They owe him money. They're like literally breaking into the U.S. post office and like reaching their hands behind and stealing other people's mails. So they're like kind of trashy con people. Mm-hmm. And the whole movie is so weird. And Rachel Evan Woods, or Evan Rachel Woods, that's what it is. I see what you're doing there.
It throws you off. But
yeah, she plays this character who is raised by these people, but they never treated her like a child. They kind of treated her as one of the partners, and you can see that like that really, really affected her. And it's kind of they win a trip to go to like New York and figure out that if they go and come back and steal luggage, that they can report their luggage stolen and get money from that, right? So as they're doing that, they meet Gina Rodriguez's character, who is on the airplane with the dad talking, and they kind of like invite her into like their little clique, and they're kind of introducing her to like their world and trying to figure out how to take advantage of like what she does for a living. And the movie's just really weird. It kind of reminds me of the art of self-defense. Where it's like the world feels like distinct in its own way. And so much of it is like the acting is phenomenal from everyone. Specifically, Evan Rachel Wood, where she just the whole time talks in a really weird tone, and she like nails it the entire time. But it's also a lot about like understanding the dynamics of like weird family situations. Mm-hmm. And
what,
how
when does this come out?
It came out September 25th to movie theaters, but it's like an indie film, so it's like, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing it streaming anywhere right now, but if you see it pop up, I don't know, at some point on streaming services, check it out, because it is
on demand on the 16th.
Oh, cool.
It's this week.
I'll check it out awesome. Then. So great, you recommend yeah. it?
I do. It's weird, though, so watch the trailer, and the trailer will definitely show you like what the weird vibes are. But, like, yeah. I don't know. I really liked it. For whatever reason, I also really liked Art of Self-Defense. And there was one more movie.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah. That's why. If you have great taste.
Anyways.
Very cool. Joey? Yeah. You're next up.
What else have I been watching? Oh, I started watching The Haunting of Bly Manor this weekend.
This is Rahul's show, right?
It is. So, how, yeah. How, I know
Kev. Oh, cool. You guys are both watching this, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's the anthology series started with Haunting of Hill House,
which is so 2 years ago,
which I never finished, but now that I'm watching Bly Manor, I'm more inclined.
So it's tied to another,
it's
tied to the Haunting of Hill House, which is came out last year, right?
It's their anthology series. So they're just it's ghost stories with a lot of the same actors.
Yeah, cool. Sort of like American
kind of like
Horror
the Ryan
Story.
Murphy. Yeah, exactly.
I got it.
But
okay,
like good.
Cool.
I don't know if you've ever watched the Ryan Murphy shows. But good. They're terrible.
I don't, as a general rule, watch Ryan Murphy stuff, but,
Nick,
you know.
I have seen so many of them. So
I
many.
Want to like
didn't
them.
He do Glee? Or is that not him? Yeah, see, once I watched half an episode of Glee, and I was like, no, never need
American
this.
American Horror Story is what we're talking about, right? That's
right.
The Ryan Murphy stuff. Like, I've seen legitimately maybe 10, no, let's see, at least 3 or 4 episodes of each season. And I hate that series. Ryan Murphy's bad at what he does.
I want to like them. I feel like they start out with like a really cool premise.
It's always a good cool premise.
And then they never pull it together.
And I feel like
that's
what
a bummer.
That's what Bly Manor does so well, or The Haunting of Blank does so well, where it starts out with a cool premise. Like Haunting of Hill House, I fell in love with the writer / not director,
Mike
but
Flanagan.
Dude, yeah, Mike Flanagan, who like
the showrunner.
That's it, because his stuff is great, and I've since looked up a bunch of his movies. There's one I haven't seen called Hush that I really want to. Cool Greg told me it was
it's on
terrifying.
Netflix.
Yeah,
it's really good. You should watch it.
Cool Greg said he had to sleep with he had to get up and close the window because he was like, I can't sleep with his window open like he normally does because it scared him so bad.
What's it called?
Well, and that's
Hush?
Another one with a
Hush.
Cool premise because it's Hush? About this writer who's in the woods trying to finish a book, and she's deaf, and then there's like a killer that's there, so it plays with just like when you can't hear it. It is really interesting to see how
that reminds me of a movie with Uma Thurman called Jennifer 8. Did you ever see that back in the day?
I have no idea what that is.
She was blind. It was a killer who was going after blind women.
Oh, that's
and that was like it. That was the whole thing, is that he was like he would like stalk them, but they couldn't tell because they couldn't see him. Really fucked up.
Andy Garcia.
But he also did Dr. Sleep, which is the sequel to.
Oh, I really
liked
that.
Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, I really liked it too. And he just has a really good way of like setting a tone and carrying it throughout the season and giving you good scares. Where like Bly Manor is awesome. Shout outs to Rahul, and the little kids are so good. Again, perfectly cast. Like this entire movie, everyone's so rad.
Yeah. Very cool. I want to shout out to Nia Miller specifically. She plays Mrs. Gross. I just finished episode 5, which is like an episode kind of centering around her, and she's so good.
The end of
she's
that episode, so too, is like you just sit there and you're like, I knew something was up. I knew something was up.
But I didn't know what.
Yeah.
But I won't do that. It's Meatloaf for you, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, though, to tell you about some other stuff we love, which are our sponsors, the first of which is Upstart. During these economically turbulent times. Everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. Of course, you guys have heard us talk about this. I got an uncle that could have used Upstart a long time ago because he got himself in a lot of credit card debt. And I think seeing it all in one place would have helped him a lot. Here's how you can take advantage of Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/morning to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/morning. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit income and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Next up, we've got HBO Max. As we all know, Halloween is going to look a little different this year as we continue to adhere to social distancing guidelines, but you can still keep the Halloween spirit alive, and that's why we partnered with HBO Max this Halloween season. This Halloween, get into the horror genre with movies like The Invisible Man, Us, Ready or Not, It Chapter 2, which you can all find on HBO via HBO Max. I'll tell you what, all great movies. It Chapter 2, love it. Just watched Ready or Not as well. What a fun, creepy, messed up horror movie. Definitely worth watching. It's super cool. HBO has so many Halloween films now streaming, from bone-chilling scares to family favorite moments. HBO Max's vast library is here to serve up some jumps, screams, and fun. So if you have the guts to stream this Halloween season, sign up for your 7-day free trial on HBO Max by heading to bit.ly/HBO Max kinda. Again, that's bit.ly/HBO Max kinda. Now back to the show. Boom.
If I could take control of this next one, because this is on HBO Max and I actually highly recommend it to everyone. I watched Richard Jewell. If you guys know this movie, is it ringing any bells?
Oh yeah.
We tried to go see it when it was doing screeners.
That was one of the movies where I think we were just like, it's the wrong movie theater. Right?
Oh yeah.
It's too late, we're here. All right, man, it's a movie about a security guard that finds a bomb. It's based on a real life event. He finds a bomb and saves some people. And man, this movie is phenomenal. It's so good because like things go poorly for him. Like, I don't know if you know the name or you recognize.
Well, no, I mean, I saw the preview and it looks like he's not. He finds a bomb and he tries to be a hero and they quickly are like, you did it and we need you to confess to it. And he's like, I'm kind of dumb. So, okay.
Yeah, but there's a lot of back and forth. It's not just as easy like, I'm kind of dumb. Like, there's like moments in it where you're like, there's no way the FBI is this fucked up. But I mean, it's supposed to be based off a real story.
Real story, yeah.
But Jesus, the acting is like, this movie came out in 2019 and I can't believe it didn't win like any Oscars for the actors that it had. Actually, did it win any Oscars now that I'm thinking about it? I think What's Her Face was nominated. The mom who is
Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
That would make sense. It's on HBO Max. It's compelling the entire time. It leaves you like aggressively hating the FBI, which, you know,
it happens.
The cops suck. The FBI sucks. Everyone sucks.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, it just looked, I mean, John Hamm plays one of the
FBI agents, right? Yeah,
that looks it just looked so intense that multiple times with D, I was like, should we watch this? And she's like, no, this is just going to be way too intense of a movie. We need something a little bit more along the lines of like a Hocus Pocus right now. So I was like, cool, we'll watch Scanners instead. Just way more insane. But yeah, that's on Richard Jewell's on HBO right now, right?
Yeah, it's on HBO Max. Okay. And HBO. And HBO Now on Amazon, it looks like. The main actor, the Paul Walter Hauser, is I feel like he's the guy from I, Tonya, like the friend that
he's like, the guy that's like tries to convince the other guy he like knows all this shit, but he's dumb. He doesn't know shit.
I kind of feel like he plays the same role in a lot of movies, but there is
he's in Cobra Kai season 2 also, which is hilarious.
Does he play the same role?
Yes, he sure does.
Yeah.
He plays the role of a guy that works at a Home Depot who desperately wants to take karate with a bunch of kids.
Yep.
So that just put that in perspective.
So he plays a very similar role, but in this one, there's just a lot of more emotional range going on, and it's executed so perfectly. So if you got some free time, check this movie out.
I definitely will. Next up, I want to talk about Scanners, which is a movie that I watched over on I don't want to talk about first, actually. Sorry, Kev. Cut. This is going to be one for Cool Greg. Cool Greg, I'm like, I hate you guys so much right
it's
now.
It's okay. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah, just write a note in there. Cool. I'll kick it off. I've been actually watching the one thing I want to talk to you guys about, because I think you both watched it, Community. Have you guys watched like the whole?
I love Community.
Yeah,
I have not. Well, this not just true. Came up in conversation this weekend.
That I love half of Community.
It's really good. I just got through season 4, which they affectionately refer to as the gas leak season. Which for Joe, if you're not familiar with it, some behind the scenes drama apparently happened with Community. So seasons 1 and 2 are genius. They're great. And super fun, and you can tell they're like, wow, this show is very self-aware and having a lot of fun turning itself on its side and going, you know, just being crazy and making all sorts of references and callbacks and stuff, which unfortunately made the show slightly hard to jump into during season 3. And so at the end of season 3, the producers, or I guess the people over at the television studio, were like, hey, we gotta kick Dan Harmon out and bring in a new showrunner. And then when you watch season 4, I think it's like the tail end of season 3 and season 4, man, these characters become caricatures of themselves, so much so that I looked it up and there's actually a term for it that I now forgot, but I'll just say was flanderizing, I think is what it was called. Where basically like the characters have one little personality quirk, and then new writers come in and go, that's the funny thing, so let's just keep making them do that thing over and over again.
Is that, of course, made popular vibes.
That's the term that I found was based off of Ned Flanders in The Simpsons, which he started off as just like a good neighbor that used to pay attention in church. And then by season like 24, he is like Jesus Christ and everything that he does revolves around church.
Right.
That's exactly what happens in Community, which is crazy, because at a certain point, you're like, why are these characters so bad now? Like, why does Britta, who is played by Jillian Jacobs, why is she just a complete and total fuck up when in season 1 and 2, she was just kind of like, more of like a, she just was like a protester. She just like didn't like adhering to social norms. She was just like, no, that's stupid and this stupid. By season 4, she's just a complete and total idiot. And like the woman who plays Shirley, the actress, like was totally fine. She had like some of her backstory was that she was Christian, but she was divorced. By season 4, every line out of her mouth is something about God or how you guys are all heathens. It's so annoying.
It's so bad that
in season 5 they do a hard reset. They do a repilot is what they call it. And they refer to season 4 as, they were like, oh, there was a gas leak that whole year. We don't even know what happened. Like some of the things that we thought we did when we were just, and it's so much better now. Like I just watched one episode of season 5. I'm like, this is a totally different show. It feels like the first season.
Dude, that's crazy. Because
they also brought Dan Harmon back.
I only watched the first 3 seasons. And after that, like, I think I like started watching season. When did the episode with the, like, they go in the video game? When does that happen?
That was season 4. So that was actually a good episode.
But
they
was
had
that
a couple
the
good,
start
good
of
ones.
Season 4 or was at the end?
It was the end of season 4. That was that was when Giancarlo Esposito joins. And I don't want to spoil the character for you, but he's just so good. And the whole episode Joey, they do this fun thing where like they'll just go, hey, what if every this whole episode happened in pretty much a video game, like a 2D side-scrolling platformer? And they go, cool. And then it works. It just so works. They do another one where it's claymation, which is freaky. And then they just did one in season four at the end of season four that was like all puppets, which I skipped because puppets, it just didn't work for me.
You don't like puppets.
Oh, Elise would be so sad. Nah,
this one just didn't work. I just think by the end of season four, I was like, I'm really ready for these characters to stop being one dimensional. And then season five starts and I'm like, oh, wow, this is weird. That's basically like they're basically talking shit about the last season, similar to how we did this last week on the prior week's Kind of Funny podcast. Yeah.
I think I stopped watching at the end of season four. But like you bringing this up and actually telling me the like how they fixed that.
Start with season five. It's great.
Makes makes me want
to. It's not maybe great because this is slowly where a lot of the characters start. You're starting to see some of the characters as they became bigger, like spoilers, they're going to start leaving the show. And that's sad. And then it's kind of from what I've read, the season five is sort of like where everything just starts to come to an end, which is fine. It's a natural. You know, the show did like six seasons. So
in a movie.
Five seasons, maybe.
So it did.
It did do six seasons in a movie.
Yeah, it did do six seasons. It was an ongoing joke that they would always make.
Well, that was because of Cougar Town.
Was it
so good? Yeah, it is six seasons. Yeah, Cougar Town. Remember, he was like Abed was always like six seasons in a movie, and then Cougar Town got canceled after two seasons, and it like broke him. He couldn't exist. Joey, you'd love this show. It's great. Tim's watched it. G has watched it. So you'll never see it, but. Trust me, it's very, very good, and I highly recommend it. That level of humor, if you're into Rick and Morty, same creator. I imagine Rick and Morty is very similar to this as far as like the irreverence is concerned.
It's probably a little crazier, but like but it's significantly crazier, but it does have some of the comedic beats.
Beautiful. Who are we back to? Joe, we're back to you. Give us your final pick for things.
My final pick, also something you can watch on HBO Max. Lovecraft Country.
Ooh.
It's really good. It's another kind of anthology-ish series, though it's different though, because every episode has a lot of through lines, but is kind of its own like little bit standalone episode. I'm only on episode five, so I know that I think it wrapped up this past Sunday. but it's really freaking good. I feel like I got prepped really well from it from when we watched Color Out of Space, because it's all my first kind of like Lovecraftian experience, but it's really good. So it has Journey Smollett Bell, is that her last name? Does she still do that?
Maybe
she dropped her second last name. Jonathan Majors, who's the main character in Last Black Man in San Francisco, if any of you guys saw that. And then has Courtney B. Vance,
he's supporting character, supporting character.
But it's really, really good. If you like, it's spooky. It's not overly scary, but I love it. It's so good. So I highly, highly recommend.
Yeah, it's fun. Courtney B. Vance from Law and Order fan.
Yeah, I feel like he hasn't really been around in a while.
He did a lot of stuff, man. He was on Law and Order for a while. He was so good on that. He had cool suits that he used to wear.
It's really good. If you like spooky, weird. It's different than Haunting of Bly Manor. It's a period piece. It takes place in like the 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like really interesting like social and racial commentary that happens in it too. But the characters are really cool. The storyline's really cool. They kind of do like a lot of different types of like tropey kind of horror things.
Now, let me ask. Is it based? It's Lovecraft Country. Is it based on H.P. Lovecraft stories?
Yes.
Okay, so is every episode one of those stories or something to do with those? You said it's the anthology, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, but kind of not.
So I saw the first three episodes. Okay. And episode one and two are connected where they're like one story, right? And then when you get to episode three, it's a different story, but it's the same girl that's in the first episode.
It's all the same characters and same storylines. So they just focus on different sections, like different characters, and then those have like really different feelings. One like ghost centered episode, and there's one like more like shapeshiftery centered episode and stuff like that. So it's all the same. Yeah. So they have like a lot of really cool through lines that connect all of them, but it's almost a little bit like not Monster of the Week, but a little bit because
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what it sounds like. Same characters, but they're kind of taking on different aspects of H.P. Lovecraft stories. That's cool. Yeah. That sounds real cool. It looks
really
awesome.
Fun.
Yeah. Every time it pops on, I'm like, that looks scary. I don't want to watch it. So I don't.
It's scary. It's not that scary. It's definitely tense, but I don't know that it's that scary.
Because it sounds like Fringe a little bit, where it's like an X-Files-y sort of thing, but set in the 50s. And that makes me excited.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I think that the effects for it being an HBO show and like... I think that they spent a decent amount of money because they like the first two episodes, they have these weird monsters, and they look pretty good. There's also a transformation scene where you see someone turn into a monster, and it's like, oh my god,
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. Yeah. I really really dug those first two episodes. The third episode just didn't grab me as hard, but like that's maybe because it's a ghost story more than anything.
Yeah, Kevin. I really liked that one. I thought it was fun.
We'll give it a shot, everyone. Let us know in the comments below what you thought about that. Kevin, what's your final pick for things that you have been watching this week?
I watched a movie called Flower.
Oh, and shit, yeah.
I hadn't seen it before, and it was
streaming. Not Zoe, not, what the hell, what's her name?
Zoe,
not Deschanel, Deutsch?
Deutsch, that's it.
Yeah, I like Zoe Deutsch.
And it was so good. This movie was
really
phenomenal, man. Let me see where
it's streaming. Is this the one where they're like, they kind of accuse a teacher of something and try to blackmail him or something like that?
Yeah, so she like, her mom, it's weird. She's a young lady that really likes catching predators and blackmailing them to get money from them so that she can get her dad out of jail. Okay. So yeah, it's on Hulu. That's where we watched it. And, her mom has a boyfriend, and I think that they're moving in together or something, but, like, the boyfriend's son comes to, like, live with them, or he, like, gets out of rehab or something. And she develops a friendship over time with him, and he accuses someone of, like, molesting him.
Interesting.
And basically, she wants to try to help him get revenge.
And that's Adam Scott, or no?
Adam Scott is the person being accused, yeah.
Okay.
And this movie is wild. There's an aspect at the end where it's like, ugh, I wish you hadn't gone this way with this part. But other than that, it's fantastic. Zoe Deutsch is phenomenal. Adam Scott plays this character like so perfectly where it's weird how like, a lot of his roles seem very one-dimensional where he's like that one, like, you know, the annoying preppy guy, but you give him a little bit of time to develop and you get more out of it. It's really good. Yeah. And he does.
I like Adam Scott.
Yeah. That role works so well with the way he plays it.
Also seeing that Catherine Hahn is in the cast.
Oh, I love Catherine Hahn, but it looks like it's not a comedy though. Catherine Hahn in a non-comedy could work. But, yeah. I know she did that show she had for a while that people seem to like. But man, Catherine Hahn in The Goods might be the best thing she's ever done. And it's not a good movie, but man, it makes me giggle. It makes me giggle when her and Rob Riggle, they got some great scenes. The last movie I wanted to talk about was one that I actually watched on HBO Max as well. It's called Scanners. Have you guys ever heard of this movie or seen this movie?
I feel like I've seen the VHS cover.
Yes. I mean, it's a classic sci-fi from the 80s that I should have seen a long time ago, but I never watched. It's David Cronenberg. He directed it and wrote it. And it just randomly popped up. I think it's in their Halloween collection for HBO Max. I like how this whole episode is basically just an ad read for HBO Max. But seriously, like I was like, oh, I've never seen that before. Queued it up, started watching it. And normally with movies that are old like this, because this movie was made in 81, I'm like, there's a 90% chance this is just not going to speak to me. This one grabbed me right off the bat, and I'm like, what a cool concept. What a beautifully directed, straightforward, messed up, twisted sci-fi movie about people. Kevin, the whole concept of it is that...
Let me pull up the poster that I was talking about, or the VHS cover. It's like, yep.
That's it.
That's exactly what I like thought it was.
So there's like this one and like these classic covers like this one, like Videodrome, right? Mm-hmm. Like those are the ones that I watch. I was like, those look scary. I never want to see these as a kid, even though I was mainlining RoboCop and Predator back in the day. But this movie is about a group of people who for some reason have telepathic abilities. and they're being sort of discovered in this year. It's kind of not really well known, but it is known, and people aren't there. There's an underground group of them that are fighting each other for just various different reasons. And one of the guys who is the main character gets brought in by this government agency because he's basically been a derelict for his whole life because he hasn't been able to tune out the voices, and they help him figure that out, and they train him so he can go up against the bad scanners. And the bad scanner is played by Michael Ironside, who is awesome in everything. And it's really cool and really messed up and kind of gory and super 80s like gory effects. And if you're in for a fun, crazy sci-fi kind of John Carpenter-esque movie, I hate to say that because I know people are gonna be like, David Cronenberg, not John Carpenter. But if you're yearning for that experience and you've never seen Scanners, check it out. It's pretty cool.
That sounds really interesting. Cronenberg?
Yeah.
He goes Cronenberg too far. Goes far. He goes real, real far. Where it's
The other movie I remember him that I did watch when I was a kid that traumatized me was The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
That's the other one that I watched, and I was like, I never need to see another David Cronenberg. It's a great movie. It's really fucked up, but it's so gross and weird and grotesque and trippy. Worth it. I mean, obviously, come on, Joey, let me just pitch you on a movie here.
Seen it?
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen it? It's Gina Davis, it's Jeff Goldblum, and they make out.
Yeah, that's it.
Did you guys
that's
see exactly. that? Did you guys see that he recreated the Jurassic Park picture?
We sure did. He wanted people to go vote, and the best way to do that is with a sizzle chest. That's why I'm going to take my shirt off at the end of the show,
ladies and gentlemen,
but not before talking to you. Of course, if you guys want to write in on this show, you can go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, back us at the $5 tier, and that will get your words in my mouth right now. Why just like South Bay Adams said, I've only been watching screencasts for a couple months, but I'm not sure if you take show recommendations or only movie recommendations, but I'd like to recommend Utopia on Amazon. Rainn Wilson and John Cusack play secondary roles to the younger cast. It was interesting, and this fun twist on comic book series was entertaining and definitely leaves room for subsequent seasons. I've never even heard of this.
Dude, before. I really want to watch it. It's the trailer kind of makes it seem like there's some comic book that if you read does something in your mind and people have to come and kill you.
Oh, I don't want to read that.
And it looks cool. Wild. Yeah.
Oh, John Cusack's in it. I like it. Well, you had me a John Cusack. Maybe I'll give this one a shot after I'm done with Community. And lastly, let's see who. Will L. reached out and said, hey, I copied over. Oh, with The Boys finished, I'm wondering if you guys will return to the Nick list. If so, Aya Cash was just in a film called Scare Me. Her charm comes through well, but it is very much a mumblecore horror film and slow, not for the faint of heart. It's perfect, fine, in his opinion. He recommends it. The movie is also only on Shudder streaming services, but there is a free 7-day trial period for people wanting scary movies this month. Alternatively, the movie It Comes at Night is on Netflix, and it's a horror film from A24. Reminds me a lot of the environment of The Last of Us. It's very much an A24 film, so love it or hate it. I usually love A24 films. They usually don't go wrong with me.
They have
a 90% chance for me.
That 10% chance, though, is like squarely It Comes at Night.
People didn't like that.
Did you like it?
People did not like that. I never watched it.
Oh, I did not like it.
You didn't like it. So.
No, I did not like it.
But a lot of people said it was just like you thought it was going to be one. Mumblecore is a style popularized by a group of directors where it's largely improv'd and they're just talking a lot and the camera kind of roams. Drinking Buddies is an example of mumblecore, which was Jake Johnson and Olivia Wilde. And it's basically like, I think the Duplass brothers, I think, would be a mumblecore style as well, if I'm not mistaken. It's just a genre of film, of filmmaking that's kind of came and went, I think.
Do you like it?
I like those two that I just, I like most Duplass stuff, and I think, I could be wrong about the Duplass brothers, but I know that Joe Swanbeck, I think, is the guy that directed Drinking Buddies, and I really liked that movie. Mm. Really cool. It kind of just feels like the scenes have, like, the scripts have a rough outline for where they need to get to emotionally and, like, plot-wise in the scenes, and they just can kind of do their thing and talk, and the camera just kind of goes back and forth between people. And it's not a
bold choice.
Very indie. But it's cool, and they've made some good movies. And we've made some good content here, Joey and Kevin. Thank you guys so much for joining me on the show. Remember, everyone, if I said something incorrect or if I said something you're just like at that, you're like, he knocked it out of the freaking park. Leave a comment in the comments below on this YouTube video. Let us know what you thought. Also, make sure you thumbs up this bad boy. And if you haven't subscribed to us and you made it this far, take the leap. Buy the ticket, take the ride, as Hunter S. Thompson once said, because we make all sorts of cool stuff. We're doing Batman in review. We got Conjuring in review still going. The spoilers, we might do more in reviews after both of those things, too. Spoilers for the spoilers. We're definitely going to do that. So keep hanging out with us here on YouTube.com/kindoffunny. And until then, I'll see you online. But not if you see me first.
I think if they see you first, you'll still see them.
I'll feel you.
Okay. I'm going to cut.